Good morning. I am Al Wall, the Administrative Law Judge, pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as the hearing officer for this hearing. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing of the application of Bear Paw Energy for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize the construction and operation of two natural gas processing plants to be known as the State Line 1 and 2 gas plants, which will be located in Williams County, North Dakota. Before proceeding with the hearing, I will ask the commissioners for their comments and any directions for the hearing. Commission President Tony Clark.
Thank you, Judge. Not a lot to say today, at least of our opening comments, other than as we've always talked about at these hearings, this really is an exciting time in North Dakota with the amount of investment that we see coming in. While we as commissioners are like other state officials and other local officials in North Dakota very excited about it, at the same time we know that there have to be certain protections and statutes and law that are upheld. And that's why we have these hearings today, to make sure that the energy development that does go on is done in the right way, and that it's done to mitigate any adverse impacts to the environment and the people of the state of North Dakota. So I look forward to the hearing today and look forward to the testimony. Thanks.
Commissioner Kevin Kramer.
Thanks, Judge. And I, too, of course, welcome everyone and appreciate your participation. One admonition I would add is if there's a member of the public here who has something on their heart or their mind that they want to raise, whether it's in favor of the application, of opposition, concern, clarification, please, this is your opportunity. This is your moment. It's the only moment that you have is at this hearing. So for us to take into consideration any public input, it must be presented at this hearing. So I would strongly encourage that. We had an interesting question last week when we were acknowledging some letters of intent on some gas facilities. A reporter asked, well, how much does this add up to now? And he asked specifically about gas processing plants. And so I pulled out the sheet and added it up. And with these two projects, just the gas projects that we have, we being the Public Service Commission, has siting jurisdiction over, the estimated investment is about $822 million. That means those are investments that have come to us in probably the last 5 years. It doesn't include previous facilities, and we know there are a lot of those, and nor does it include facilities that are underneath our jurisdictional threshold, and we know that there are several of those, or at least a few, at the 50 million cubic feet or so. So we're talking about over $1 billion of investment, and the thing about gas processing, especially the plants, they really, in addition to adding to the economy of our state, in addition to adding value to a very precious commodity in our country and in the global marketplace, but especially in our part of the country, it also is, by its very nature, environmentally friendly because it takes an otherwise disposed of product and adds value to it. So we appreciate that. We like these types of projects, and we look forward to a good hearing.
Commissioner Brian Koch.
Just thank you so much for coming out today. And, the most important thing that I like to get out of these hearings is that we're here to listen to the public and your concerns. So if you have something that you like or don't like about this project, this is your chance to say it. And just thank you so much for having us up here today. It's always good to be back in Williston. I grew up in Botno. I had a lot of good friends out here in the basin. So this is a special part of our state. And it's funny, whenever we go to the eastern part of the state for hearings, we always have snow and wind and rain. Every time we come out here, it's always sunny. So I'm just saying the way it is. So.
You forgot the last time we were in Watford City, evidently.
That's on the south side of the lake. Thank you all for coming and look forward to hearing your thoughts.
Thank you, commissioners. The record will show that it is a little after 11 o'clock a.m., April 25, 2011, the time and date set by the notice of filing and notice of hearing issued by the North Dakota Public Service Commission, March 24, 2011, in case number PU-10-666 for the hearing of the application of Bear Paw Energy, LLC, for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize the construction and operation of two 100 million cubic feet per day natural gas processing plants to be located in Williams County, North Dakota. All as is set forth in the notice of filing and notice of hearing and shown by the map which is part of the notice and which has all been duly served and published in accordance with the requirements of statute and rule. The Commission's notice of filing and notice of hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined upon this hearing. First, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Second, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And third, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Mr. Morrison, please state your appearance for the record.
Thank you, Judge Wall. John Morrison, Crowley Fleck, 400 East Broadway, Suite 600 Bismarck, appearing today on behalf of Bearpaw Energy, LLC.
Mr. Armstrong, please state your appearance for the record and note the appearance of Commission staff who will participate in the hearing.
Mitch Armstrong, Special Assistant Attorney General, on behalf of the Commission. With me is Pat Vaughn, Commission staff. I move that he be allowed to ask the witnesses questions today.
Motion granted. Is there anyone present other than persons who may testify concerning Bearpaw's application? Is there anyone present other than employees of Bearpaw who have any plan, any thought that they may want to speak to the Commission? Anybody here for that purpose? Good. Let me just say that when Bearpaw has completed its presentation, I will recess the hearing briefly, and I will be available to anyone who plans to speak to the Commission. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. If you have any documents, photographs, maps, anything that you would like to be have made part of the record for the Commission to consider, I'll get that marked as an exhibit for you. I'll help you get that made a part of the record so that it goes in, and just generally assist you any way that I can to make it easy for you. This is a little bit more formal than you may be used to in city commission or county commission meetings, but that shouldn't discourage you, and I can assure you that you won't have any problem. Let me also say to anyone else who is here as a member of the public and you think, well, I really don't have anything to say, but if in the course of listening to this you decide that you have something to say, fine, please don't hesitate to come forward. Let me say also that even if you don't stop by to introduce yourself to me or ask or have any questions for me, but if after you listen to something else somebody says, you say, you know, I really need to say something about that, or I really want to add that, and you haven't talked to me, that doesn't make a bit of difference. I will not close the hearing until I have asked if there's anyone who wishes to address the Commission. So don't, if you haven't talked to me, don't let that bother you. Just come up, sit down, and away we go. And again, if you have any documents, I'll don't worry about getting those marked as exhibits and going through the process. I'll be glad to help you with that. All right, with that, Mr. Morrison, you may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. Judge Wall, members of the Commission, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We have a pretty simple hearing today. We plan to call two witnesses. They're going to be Russ Clark, who's an engineer, who's going to talk about the need for the plant, the design of the plant, timing of construction, those types of details. And Bill McCarthy is a consultant. He will be testifying as to the environmental study and review that went into the plant. We also have some other Bearpaw representatives in the audience. Mick Urban is with Government Affairs. Dick Vanderbosch is Director of Operations for the area. And Michael Daly is with the Office of General Counsel for Bearpaw, and they're all available if we need to answer questions or provide information. And with that, our first witness is going to be Russ Clark, who is also Rusty Clark, I believe.
Mr. Clark, please have a seat. Mr. Clark, as you may know, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years, or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Clark, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Morrison.
Thank you. Russ, can you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, my legal name is Rusty Clark, and...
You're commonly called Russ Clark, is that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And can you also tell us by whom you're employed, in what capacity, and give us your business address?
Okay. I am employed by One Oak. My business address is 100 West 5th, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74103.
And One Oak is basically the parent for Bearpaw Energy LLC, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you are testifying today on behalf of Bearpaw Energy LLC?
Yes, that is correct.
And... can you describe what your role is in connection with the State Line gas plants, which are the subject of this hearing?
I am the project engineer on State Line 1 and 2. I am one of the preparers of the application put before the Public Service Commission today.
And you've previously testified for the Public Service Commission, is that correct?
Yes, I have. I testified for the Garden Creek plant.
Can you give us a little description of the State Line gas plants, the two plants, and what their function will be?
Sure. The State Line 1 and 2 gas plants process 100 million standard cubic feet per day of associated gas from area wells. This associated gas is basically produced as crude oil comes up out of the ground. It has a small or medium-sized amount of natural gas that comes up out of the ground with it. That natural gas has a lot of impurities with it. And I say impurities, it's propane, it's butane, ethane. These are not, modern burners are not designed to burn this rich gas. So it needs to be processed to remove those heavier hydrocarbons and then shipped through the natural gas transportation pipelines.
Can you tell me where the plants will be located?
The plants will be located approximately 16 miles to the northwest of Williston and along County Highway 5.
And has Bearpaw purchased the land upon which the plants will be located?
Bearpaw has purchased the 160 acres for the site, and we've gone through the process of getting the land rezoned for industrial use and have obtained our conditional use permit from the county.
You said the plants would each be designed to handle 100 million cubic feet per day. What will the tailgate products be at the tailgate of the plant?
The tailgate products will be pipeline quality natural gas. We will also have a field grade NGL product, which will also be pipelined from the site, and we will have a natural gasoline product. This is largely heavier hydrocarbons that have a vapor pressure below atmospheric pressure.
Can you tell the commission the approximate quantities of residue gas and natural gas liquids or liquids that will be available at the plant?
Yes, we will be delivering up to 78 million standard cubic feet per day of natural gas and up to 25,000 barrels of NGLs per plant. So the total output will be approximately 150 million cubic feet per day of natural gas and approximately 25,000 barrels per day of Y-grade liquids.
And where will the residue gas be directed?
The residue gas will be delivered to the Northern Border Pipeline, either by Northern Border or WBI.
And there's a pipeline to be constructed, to be permitted, sited, and constructed still, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And will all of the liquids be transported by truck or by pipeline?
The Y-grade liquids will be transported by pipeline. The natural gasoline product will be trucked off-site.
And can you tell us where that pipeline will go for the Y-grade liquids?
The Y-grade liquids will be transported to our Riverview facility in outside of Sidney, Montana.
And Bearpaw has currently submitted a letter of intent for construction of a pipeline from the Garden View plant to this rail facility. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you will in the future be submitting a similar application or letter of intent for the pipeline from this plant?
Yes, we will submit those to the commission. So,
and will certain liquids also be trucked off the location then?
Just the natural gasoline.
Okay. And is Bearpaw convinced that there is a demand for the additional 200 million cubic feet of capacity that these plants will represent?
Yes. We are in contract negotiations with our customers. We have certain customers that have agreed to provide gas to the State Line 1 and State Line 2 gas plants. There's a definite need. Obviously, the wells that are in place right now are in an operation are flaring the natural gas at the wellhead. Our plant would provide processing means for those area wells.
So it should help reduce the flaring in North Dakota.
Yeah, that's the idea, yes.
And it'll also provide additional revenues for operators, royalty owners, and the state. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did Bearpaw consider handling this capacity through other existing facilities rather than building new plants?
Yes, we considered that. Our state line, or not our state line, our Garden Creek facility is currently under construction. It is for a 100 million standard cubic feet per day plant. That plant is full. We've got the acquired wells for that, or we have well agreements for those. And our Grasslands facility, which is currently constructed, is it's bound by capacity limits, and it is also we have run out of geophysical room to expand that facility.
You've already done some expansions?
Yes, we've done some expansions, but it's been at full capacity for about the past geophysical capacity. We could not physically expand the plant further.
What's the construction schedule for the State Line gas plant?
The physical construction was determined by when some of our area wells would be available, and also our capacity to increase the gathering system to deliver gas to the gas facility. We plan on having State Line 1 under construction completed in operation by July of 2012. And we worked with our general contractor, Lindy Process Plants, working backwards from those dates. And we were planning on having construction within this beginning of construction, building roads and grading and leveling the site around this time.
I mean the current time in April?
The current time in April, yes.
So in other words, you want to start construction as soon as possible?
We would like to, yes.
And you mentioned plant number one will be finished construction by July 2012. Is there a similar time frame for plant two?
Yes, our plant two, we were planning on having that up operational by September or October of 2012.
Have you also been involved in consultations and discussions with local governmental authorities on permitting and other matters related to these plants?
Yes. I presented the State Line 1 and 2 plants to the Williams County Planning and Zoning Commission. We obtained those permits. We have also spoken with the Williams County Development Council. We've also spoken with Hebron Township, where the plant is located. We have worked with them to on a road that is that we plan on using for delivering heavy equipment to our site.
And those discussions are ongoing, but you are working with those local government agencies to handle the traffic issues.
Yes. In addition to the Hebron Township, we've also contacted with the Williams County Highway Department as well, and working and plan to work with them.
Russ,
Thomas, I'm going to show you what we've marked as Exhibit 1 and ask if you can tell us what that is, please.
Yes, this is the certification relating to Order of Provisions Energy Conversion Facility Siting.
And that has been signed by Craig Forsounder, is that correct?
That is correct.
And he is an officer of...
Yes, he is the Vice President of Operations for One Oak.
And this is in the same form as it was provided to us by the Commission staff?
That is correct.
We would offer Exhibit 1.
Mr. Armstrong.
No objection.
Exhibit 1 is received.
And with that, I have no further questions of Mr. Clark this time.
Mr. Armstrong.
Mr. Clark, I have just a few questions for you. Is there something either environmentally or economically that makes it better to have two plants here than just one plant?
Yes, it's for operational capacity. Basically, plants break. There's mechanical rotating equipment that is available there. We may have compressor issues at the facility. We may have some pump issues at one facility. So it's best to have two trains or two plants sitting side by side. So then that way, if we're operating at reduced capacity at one, we can shift that production over to the other facility if we need to.
Are the two plants that are proposed basically identical?
Yes.
What happens to the propane, butane, ethane, all those after you get the NGLs?
Yep. After we process the gas, that will be ship those liquids through our pipeline system to Riverview. From the Riverview terminal is a rail terminal, so they will be loaded onto rail cars and then sent wherever those products are purchased.
What is the gathering system for this plant?
The gathering system largely runs to the west and to the, or I'm sorry, I apologize, to the east and to the north of the plant. Those are basically, we will start at the wellhead site where we will have a interconnect and a meter there. Typically, we'll also have a gas analyzer to determine how much NGL or methane, ethane, propane is in the gas stream. We will then, depending on how far it is away from the plant, it will actually enter a compressor station. We will take the natural gasoline and send that on with a pigging system to the State Line 1 and 2 plants. The gas will be recompressed and then sent further down the pipeline.
And the gathering system, I assume, is something that will have to be constructed later?
No, we actually plan on constructing them between now and when the plants are operational. The idea is that we have the gathering system in place before the plants become operational.
Could you explain for us a little bit the traffic issues you discussed with your conversations with the local government bodies?
Sure. There will be a fair amount of heavy load traffic coming to the facility. A lot of our loads range between the legal load limit, which I think is 80,000 pounds, and then can go as high as 200,000 pounds. The heavy loads will be moved on US-2 and then onto a system of county gravel roads to reduce the impact. 56th Street, which is a Hebron Township road, we've contacted Hebron Township and are working with them to upgrade that road to allow heavy loads to be transported on that road. Right now, it's I would consider it a minimum maintenance road, and it's not open to traffic year-round. So there would be an amount of upgrade that we would need to do that, to do move those loads.
How far along are those conversations with the
township? We're pretty in deep with them. We're now talking, we want to talk with them and make sure that we get things we meet their satisfactory we have them satisfied, their requirements satisfied.
Because I saw in the application the notes with the conversations with the government county officials that discussed that One Oak, you know, wasn't looking at putting money into the roads and things of that nature. Has that changed now?
We were looking at using existing asphalt paved roads at those at that time. This was back in January when we it was hard to determine what route we could take to get to the plant site. Now that our main general contractor, Lindy Process Plants, has come through and with their logistics folks and taken a look at the conditions of roads and things like that, it's been determined that we need to stay on the unpaved county highway roads and use 56th Avenue as our main means of egress and into the facility.
I noticed there was some discussion with the emergency management response team about, and it looked like they'd requested having two entrances into the plants for response. Is that the plan, or has that been worked out?
It's been fairly worked out. The way that the plants are, the way that the plant is set up, we have a main road in and out of the plant, but the main road where that enters and leaves the plant is approximately 300 feet away from any of the first process processing units. So any emergency, they should have enough means to get in and out of those units, even with just one means of egress into the plant.
Is that acceptable to them? Has that been relayed to you?
They didn't object to the plot plan when I handed it to them for our street address.
Where are there residences around the plants?
The nearest rural residence is about a mile away from the plant.
Have you had any concerns from anybody that lives in the area?
The president of Hebron Township has some interest in area in plant or in land that's directly to the north of the plant. So we've been talking with him and the landowner. Trying to mitigate any issues and concerns that they have with the plant.
What are those concerns?
The main concern was the amount of stormwater that would fall on the facility. That would be covered in our stormwater permit plan that we've recently filed with the Department of Health, and then also some of the stormwater outfall that is coming from the western fields of the facility.
And you mentioned
the areas to the west of the facility. I'm sorry.
You mentioned the stormwater permit, so that's been filed.
Yes, that has been filed.
How about the air quality permit?
The air quality permit, we are still working with the department with our environmental people to get that filed.
What other permits are still out there for the plant?
As far as I know, that's it.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
How about power to the plant? Are there any concerns with electricity to the plant? I saw some concerns about that in the application.
Yes. We've been working with Montrell Williams, the REA in the area, to provide electrical power to the facility. They have elected to come in from the north side of the plant, plant property, and enter the and then come south right approximately in between both plants. And have their local transformer there.
There were some concerns in the, I don't know if concerns is the right word, but with the right-of-way for the power lines and mm-hmm. such, is what's the status of that?
We've taken care of that. The power poles will be on our property inside, I think, 10 feet from the northern property boundary, and then make a right turn and go into the substation.
Has the co-op said they'll be able to supply you with enough power?
Yes.
I just want to take a look at Exhibit 1
real okay.
quickly, make sure it's all in order. Just one follow-up. Is this land, you know, Bear Paw owns it now, is it in CRP or anything like that?
Yes, we purchased, the land was in a CRP agreement with the U.S. with the USDA, and we are working through those issues to get the CRP resolved.
Okay, because I was wondering about that in the application, because it said it's confidential information, but now that you own the land, obviously you're able to determine, so this 160 acres is in CRP?
Yes, it is.
Are you expecting any trouble getting it out of CRP?
We do not anticipate any issues with the government having taking it out of CRP. The CRP program is, to my understanding, a voluntary program, and if the landowner wishes to get out of the CRP program, they can. There's obviously some financial penalties that Bear Paw will have for leaving the CRP program, but we will take those penalties as part of removing the plan or the plot from CRP.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Fawn?
No questions.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark?
Just a couple things. Just so I have the industry terms correct, you had talked about the Y-grade fuels or liquids that would be taken to the, I think, Sydney plant you had mentioned. And then, now when you refresh my memory, are Y-grades, those are the ethanes, butanes, methanes, is that right?
It's a mixture of ethane, propane, butane, isobutane, and then there's a little fraction of pentanes that are
okay.
in there.
And then the natural gasoline product, that's going to be trucked off. Where does that go? Is that to the same facility, or is that?
It will be. We're actually going to have the point of sale at the State Line 1 and 2 for those liquids, and from there they're typically sent to Canada, where they are used to blend with crude in pipeline. Yeah, that's typically where they wind up.
And you had mentioned that there were 25,000 barrels per day of natural gas liquids, and that's inclusive of the natural gasoline product? That's both the Y-grade and natural gasoline?
No. The natural gasoline product will be approximately 5,000 barrels to 10,000 barrels
a day.
A day.
Okay, and the 25,000 was just the NGLs, the
yes.
Y-grade NGLs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is per plant.
Housing issues, that was one of the things that was, and I think Mr. Armstrong talked about it too, but that was mentioned by a number of folks in the different community meetings that were held with community leaders. Was there any final outcome with regard to that, or is it just an ongoing discussion, or is there final solution for housing, either, I suppose, during construction is the big issue, and then once there are permanent jobs, folks find their way into the communities. But
yes, during construction, we're in contract negotiations with some man camp company providers. Those locations, as far as I know, still haven't been finalized at that point. And our plans for transporting workers to and from the job site is not final at this point. I think it would be safe to say that we would have our man camps in the Williston area, and then how workers get to and from the job site is still up in the air at this point.
And forgive me if I miss this, but again, the number of workers at peak construction and ongoing full-time jobs after they're up and running.
We plan on having approximately up to 300 temporary construction workers on site during peak construction, and then our full-time employees will be approximately 25 to 35.
At both plants? That's the total number at both plants, 25 to 35, or each plant?
Both plants would be 25 to 35 people. And then 300 for both plants.
Okay.
So, because we intend during construction that as State Line 1 becomes further along, we would rotate those people onto State Line 2. Obviously, with them being identical sites, the work would be fairly easy to accomplish that, provided that we have our material tracking in place.
Sure. And then one final question regarding, there was a report on a meeting with Mr. Miller, the township president. And in the final paragraph of that report, it talks about the location of pipeline markers on the new gathering line that follows County Highway 5 and
yes.
and farmers in the right-of-way. I wasn't following what that conversation was about. Can you give me some background on
sure.
that?
Sure. As part of having underground pipelines, we're required to have pipeline markers at road crossings. And what had happened was is that some of the farmers were farming in the county or the township right of way. Mm-hmm. And where we had located our pipeline markers at that point in time was just outside of those fields. So that way the farmers could harvest and not hit the pipeline marker and take it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of the problem with that is that our pipeline marker is in the county or township right of way.
Okay.
It's supposed to be just on the boundary of it. So during winter or prior to crop seeding, Mr. Miller had requested that we move our pipeline markers to where they should be, which is at the boundary of the right of way, not in the right of way.
Okay, very good. Thank you. That's all I have.
I would like to restate the amount of natural gasoline that's going to be trucked off site.
You may.
For both plants, it will be approximately 5,000 barrels.
So combined or
combined?
Okay, combined. So combined total of 5,000.
Yeah,
and then it's a combined total of 25,000 per day of the NGLs.
Of the NGLs, yes.
Okay,
that's correct.
Very good. Thank you.
Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. For just to clarify for me, when we talk about a 100 million cubic feet per day nameplate capacity that's gross, then a 77 something net, does the 77 then not include the NGLs? Is that the difference?
That's the difference, yeah.
Okay. So the NGLs get converted to barrels or gallons or something, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called a liquid shrinkage, so to speak. So we basically take that balance at about 25,000 standard cubic feet, and that becomes our liquid output.
Elaborate a little bit on the potential ethanizer, I think is what I read about.
Sure.
I understand that methane and ethane are in the same stream a lot of times, but sometimes the ethane's taken out.
That's correct. Depending... We're fortunate in North Dakota that we can, the decision to put ethane in the natural gas stream is not dependent on an upper BTU limit in the transportation of that natural gas. So it becomes dependent on the price of ethane. These plants will either operate in ethane rejection or ethane recovery. In ethane rejection, we take the ethane and we put it into the natural gas stream, where it's sent with all the methane that comes through the plant, and that's shipped on the northern border pipeline. Or we can operate in ethane recovery, where we take that ethane fraction and we put it into the Y-grade NGL product. Now, how that comes into play with the deethanizer plants that we may or may not build, we are still evaluating that decision. We would take the NGLs and we would further process them to remove the ethane fraction from those NGLs, and we would basically send that in a dense phase to a separate pipeline that Vantage has proposed.
It's interesting because, and we're all learning a lot about this stuff, as you might imagine, but I think for the most part ethane stays with the methane, at least to this point in North Dakota. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yes.
And the ethane, is that a function of market for the ethane itself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we received last week a letter of intent from Hess, you probably are familiar with.
Yes, we're familiar with the proposal.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I suspected maybe that was the case. Would this be true then of the Garden Creek plant as well? Does that have the same possibility?
We have space allotted for a deethanizer or an amine unit at Garden Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That was listed as a future expansion, but at this point, we don't we don't even know if we're going to do the state line.
Sure, I understand. With regard to the two identical plants at state line, are they also identical to Garden Creek, or how close to identical are they?
The processing plants, yeah, they're identical to Garden Creek. The only thing that really changes at the state line plants is that we've increased the pipe diameters, mm-hmm. and our heat duty on the exchangers is different.
Sure. Just one final thing about the electric load issue, because you Tony inquired a bit about that, and I noticed in the application that you use 80 acres, I guess, of the 160 for the processing facilities themselves, the other 80 for other things. One to include a substation is the way it's described. Could you tell us how big a substation, or is that just simply a place for the transformer?
The substation itself, I think the last I heard, they wanted a 300 feet by 600 feet area for the substation, and it basically involves transformers and then also PDC buildings. These are basically buildings that help control and operate the plant.
So when you say they, is that they being Montreal Williams, or they being your contractors?
They being Montreal Williams, and then we will also have a PDC building on site.
Just out of curiosity, how large a load is are you talking about from an electric standpoint? We might have to bring Dale up
here. Yeah, I'm not an electrical engineer,
chemicals.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Any further questions for the commission? Commissioner Cock.
Hey, Rusty, thanks for your testimony. Just one question. When you say you're working with the local officials on roads, mm-hmm. What exactly does that mean, working with them? I mean, does that mean you're figuring out how much money you need to pay them to fix the roads, or does that mean that you're going to tell them what to do? I mean, what does that mean?
Exactly? No, they need to provide us with specifications as far as how wide the road is, how tall the road is. In other words, how high it is above grade, what the width of the borrow ditches on either side of those are, and we have been provided that information from the township. So we need to, but obviously with these being county roads, we also need to have registered engineers take a look at them and make sure that everything's up to snuff.
So when you say working with them, it's just defining what the capacity of the roads is, not trying to do upgrades to meet additional weight requirements that you have?
56th Street will have to be upgraded because it's not a all-weather road.
Okay, so then who pays for that? How does that work?
We have committed to upgrading the road on 56th Street in front of the plant. That would be our funds, and then also I think we're working with the county to get the rest of 56th Street upgraded. So as far as I know, we'll be paying for that.
And then when the project someday is all done and the road needs to be put back to wherever, it gets naturally degraded during the building phase, mm-hmm. and that's part of it too. You go back and get it set up. Is this an ongoing thing, I guess?
It's an ongoing thing right now. It's very much still in flux.
So the life of the plant, if the trucks are doing more things, you anticipate
heavy loads. Heavy loads, yes, would be required to use 56th Street. Our workers could use County Highway 5 to access the facility.
Okay, thank you.
So,
any further questions from the commission? Follow up, Mr. Morrison.
I just want to clarify one thing to make sure we have an accurate record. Russ, on the tailgate capacity of the plant, I think mm-hmm. it's correct, is it not, that each plant will have up to 77.8 million cubic feet per day of
yes.
natural gas?
Yes.
And also up to 25,000 barrels of Y-grade liquids, essentially.
That's correct, yes.
It's the 5,000 or so barrels of condensate or natural gasoline.
Yep.
That will be between the two plants.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that'll be, it's, in some ways it's easy to think, it's easier to think of condensate as a function of the size of the gathering system rather than the plant.
With that, I have no.
Anything further, Mr. Armstrong?
I'd have one follow-up, or actually a question I forgot to ask you earlier. The Northern Border Pipeline, you know, that's still in the permitting phase. Is there a backup plan if things change with that, or how integral is that to this plant?
It's very integral to the plant because we could not operate the facility without having a pipeline for the natural gas to come off-site.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No further.
Anything further, Mr. Fawn? Any further questions from the commission? Follow up, Mr. Morrison?
Nothing further.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clark. Your next witness, Mr. Morrison?
William McCarthy.
Mr. McCarthy, as you know, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. McCarthy, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Morrison.
Thank you. Bill, would you state your name and provide your business address for the record, please?
My name is William Francis McCarthy. My business address is 817 Vandalia Street, Suite 100, St. Paul, Minnesota.
And by whom are you employed in what capacity?
I'm employed by E3 Environmental, and I'm a project manager environmental consultant.
And can you tell us a little bit about your professional background?
Right. I've been an environmental consultant for 14 years, working exclusively in the energy industry. Draw upon my education at Michigan State and University of Minnesota as a wildlife biologist. I also had a minor in fisheries biology and was also a minor in environmental toxicology. In my 14 years of professional experience, I've maintained or provided service with environmental compliance, both with operating facilities and siting of new facilities.
And in addition to the State Line 1 and 2 gas plants, you previously participated in the preparation of applications and testimony before the North Dakota Public Service Commission, is that correct?
That's correct.
And can you describe your role in preparing the application that was submitted to the commission for State Line 1 and 2?
Yes. I supported the application and the preparation of the materials through the environmental analysis, primarily conducted environmental agency type consultations, also facilitated and coordinated field studies of the site to ensure that the site was compatible with the siting code.
And sir, I'm going to show you what we marked as Exhibit 2 and ask if you can identify this exhibit.
Yes, John, this is the application that we prepared and submitted to the commission.
We will offer Exhibit 2.
Mr. Armstrong.
No objection.
Exhibit 2 is received.
Bill, in doing the environmental studies and investigations, did you develop a study area that you looked at with regard to this particular plant site?
Yes, John. We took the proposed project site and placed a 1 mile buffer, that's a 1 mile diameter, around the proposed facility site and conducted our studies within that area.
And if you turn to Appendix B in the application, that shows the plant site and that buffer area, is that correct?
That is correct.
And maybe you want to take Exhibit B and just for the benefit of the commission, you know, describe what's shown on, identify the plant site, the buffer area, that type of thing.
Correct. We have two figures in Appendix B. One is an aerial photograph based that has National Wetlands Inventory information flagged on it. And the second is a topographic base that also has the wetlands inventory. You'll see that the 160-acre proposed project site is identified, highlighted in a purple demarcation, and the study area is delineated with a dashed line.
And you're familiar with the commission's exclusion areas, avoidance areas, and selection criteria, is that correct?
That is correct.
And those are detailed to some extent in Section 4 of the application. Is that correct also?
That is also correct.
Are there any exclusion areas or avoidance areas within the project site itself?
Within the project site, no.
Are there within the study area?
Within the study area, yes. We have prime farmland was identified within the study area, approximately 26 acres, I believe, were within the study area, but nothing within the project site. And that is a an exclusion criteria. And avoidance criteria of woodlands and wetlands were identified, again, within the study area, but nothing within the study site.
Now, there initially were some potential wetlands identified in the site itself. Is that correct?
That is correct. If you would reference back to Appendix B, you can see that there was a in the northwest corner a mapped wetland. It's mapped by the National Wetlands Inventory. This is at a fairly gross scale. We hired some field ecologists to go out and study the site to try to locate these areas to understand them better for this process and other related permitting. And we were not able to identify this feature with our field studies. Also, there are some intermittent streams, one in particular in the southeast corner, identified in the topographic map. Again, our field studies failed to identify this feature when we were on site.
And so you do have a wetlands delineation report, is that correct?
That's correct. It's essentially a negative study report.
And that's what's attached as Appendix D, if you remember.
That's correct.
Okay. And again, that concluded that there were no wetlands within the project area.
Correct. That was the conclusion of the report.
And no woodlands or not even any shrubs or trees or brush or anything else in the site itself, is that correct?
That's correct. The field studies included a tree and shrub analysis, and it came up with a negative report.
And is there any potential impact of this site on threatened or endangered species?
No, there's not. We conducted consultations with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the relevant state agencies, augmented those consultations, which were negative, with field studies, and all resulted in the same conclusion of no impacts.
What about archaeological resources or things that are typically called historical resources? Are there any historical resources in either the study area or the project site itself?
Within the study area, there were some potential previously recorded cultural resources identified in the study area. We identified those through what's called a Class 1 survey, which is a review of records with the State Historic Preservation Office. Those were within the study area, nothing within the study site. We conducted a Class 3 study of the project site itself proper, which is a pedestrian survey of the project site, the 160 acres, which was a negative result.
And has the State Historic Preservation Office agreed that there will be no impact on historic resources?
That's correct. We submitted these reports to the State Historic Preservation Office for their review and opinion, and they agreed with our concurrence of no effect.
Now, were there some other particularly state agencies that we haven't talked about so far that you did consultations with in this project?
Yes, we talked to the, I'm going to find my list here, North Dakota Game and Fish Department, North Dakota Parks and Recreation Department, North Dakota State Lands Department, as far as resource consultations. We're also in active permitting with the North Dakota Department of Health as well.
Okay. Mr. Clark testified earlier as to the air quality permit and the stormwater permit. Do you agree with his assessment of the status of those permits?
That's right. North Dakota, we've submitted our construction stormwater permit as of Friday, completed our notice of intent, and augmented that filing with our SWIP, which is Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan, which is required due to the amount of anticipated ground disturbance. That's going under the ordinary 7-day agency review currently. As far as the air quality permit, it is currently under review and evaluation internally with One Oak Air Quality Engineers. Both plants will be cited as under a single permit because of their proximity and close operations with each other. And the analysis of the potential emissions is not complete and needs to be to a certain stage before they can complete a permit application. The intent at this point is to file it as a minor source, provided the calculations support that. And without a doubt, those permit applications will be in place prior to initiating the siting of a potential source.
So it's your understanding that Bear Pond intends to have the air quality permit to construct in hand before it begins any construction that would require such a permit to construct?
That's correct.
Are there any other permits that are pending?
We would anticipate obtaining a hydrostatic test water permit. This is a permit issued by the North Dakota Department of Health to discharge water that's used to hydrostatically test the integrity of the piping. And it's just a standard permit, and we can, it's a 30-day review, and we have plenty of time in order to prepare that application and submit it. I would expect that these facilities will also have a water well on site, which would require some permitting through the State Water Commission.
Bill, in your opinion, will any adverse effects of the location, construction, and operation of the plants on the environment and welfare of North Dakota citizens be minimal?
Yes.
In your opinion, is the location, construction, and operation of the project compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes.
In your opinion, will the project minimize adverse human and environmental impact while also ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met?
Yes.
I don't have further questions this time.
Mr. Armstrong.
This water for testing the piping, is there a plan for disposal of it, or is that all still kind of up in the air?
Right. That's the purpose of the hydrostatic test discharge authorization that we'd be seeking. Through that process, we would be seeking approval to discharge it on site using proper best management practices to mitigate any kind of environmental impacts. Typically involves using geotextile filter bag to capture any kind of sediments, and then managing the discharge energy so that you're not scouring and resulting off-site erosion or saline water.
Mr. Clark talked a little about the stormwater issue with the property to the north. What is the issue with that property?
The understanding that I have, it's a landowner concern about managing stormwater from the site and where it might outfall. And in informal conversations that I've been involved with, there's a concern that the water that enters the site be managed to minimize that outflow. Our grading plans have been designed to capture the water that would be in contact with the plant, retain it, and hold it as long as possible, thereby minimizing those outfalls. And then the remainder of our grading plan is to manage those waters entering the site from off-site in a way that we maximize the footprint of the project. You know, we're occupying 80 acres. We have 160 acres to work with to minimize the discharges to adjacent landowners.
And do you think you're going to be able to reach an acceptable discharge plan to make that landowner satisfied?
We have every intent to bring that to a successful resolution.
Just talk to you briefly about Exhibit 2. I've got a supplement from Mr. Morrison on March 21st, and I just wanted to make sure is that included in Exhibit 2?
It probably isn't. That's a letter supplement, basically. It was a mistake in the application about some requested waivers.
Is it in Exhibit 2 now? I think we should enter it as Exhibit 3, and I've got a copy. I'd offer Exhibit 3, which is a March 21st, 2011 letter with some supplemental information to the application.
Mr. Morrison.
Yes, We have no objection.
Exhibit 3 is received.
No further questions.
Mr. Fong.
Just a couple. Are there any permits that you don't that you won't have before construction begins?
No, sir.
Okay, and could you keep the commission? Could the company keep the commission appraised of the stormwater discharge issue with the private landowner?
Yes, we'll be happy to keep you involved. Summarize those consultations and advise you of the developments.
Okay, great. And then I had one other question. It was in Appendix C. One of the responses to your consultations with agencies, other agencies, U.S. Department of Interior, they thought that since your construction was going to begin on or about March 15th, that you would avoid the 2011 bird breeding season and migrants returning to the area. Is since your construction starts going to be later now, how does it affect what they thought you would be doing?
Right. I would assume based on the habitat of our project site. Previous studies that have been done in the area associated with other pipeline construction have actually actively done field work to identify migrant birds in habitats similar to what we will impact, and have not found any migratory birds that would be protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act in such habitats. I would sense that perhaps we could freshen up that consultation with our current schedule if the commission would prefer, but it's my opinion that we'd have little or no impact to migratory birds.
Okay.
Anything further, Mr. Fawn?
Not as far as I'm concerned. I didn't know if the commission wanted to have some additional response in that manner, but I'm not so concerned about it.
All right. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Clark?
I have none. Thank you.
I have nothing, and I'm not concerned about it. It's a good point.
Commissioner Koch.
Thank you, Bill, for your testimony. Just one question. If Rusty testified about having two plants parallel, there'd be a lot of benefit for redundancy and all this. If it was one big plant, would it be a whole different air quality permit? Is it easier to permit two plants than it is one plant?
That's a great question. And the way that the permitting for this facility is essentially as one big plant, because they are two independent sources, but they're in such close proximity and their operations are tied to each other. From a permitting perspective, it's essentially one source. All the potential emissions from both facilities are then analyzed under a single source permit.
Okay, thank you. That was all I had, Judge.
Follow-up, Mr. Morrison. Well, I'm sorry. Any further questions from the commission? Follow-up, Mr. Morrison.
Just to clarify, with respect to having the permits in hand, you'll have the permits in hand that you need for the phase of construction that you're currently engaged in. Is that correct?
That's correct. Various permits, the activity that's regulated and governed by the permit, are engaged depending on a different sequence of construction. So, for example, a hydrostatic test discharge permit may not even be applied for at the time groundbreaking is happening. At groundbreaking, we would need the siting authorization and the construction stormwater permit, but the hydrostatic test permit in that particular example would perhaps lag until a point that we would enter into a hydrostatic test phase of the project, and we'd have that in hand in time for the discharge.
And likewise, the air quality permit to construct, you don't necessarily need that to do dirt work and foundation work, that type of activity, is that correct?
That is correct.
But before you begin other construction on the plant itself, you would need to have that, and you would have it.
Correct. Prior to engaging in the regulated activity by that permit, we would have that permit in hand before we engage in those activities.
With that, I have no further questions.
Follow up, Mr. Armstrong?
Nothing further.
Mr. Fawn?
Just one. Would the commission want those permits filed then as they receive them?
Seems reasonable. Yes.
Okay. Very good.
This isn't a request for late file exhibits, I assume. Okay, very good. Any further questions from the commission?
No, thank you.
Mr. Morrison, anything further?
We have nothing further this time.
Thank you very much, Mr. McCarthy.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be in recess for 5 minutes or for as long as it takes me to talk to anybody who wants to talk to me. Anybody who has any questions to ask me, any assistance that I can give them for them to address the commission, I'd be glad to visit with you now.